Iran firing 181 ballistic missiles at the civilian population of Israel, Tel Aviv, firing those missiles knowing that there would be a response. The target list is much in the news. What will any of those targets in the news mean for the future? I welcome Richard Goldberg. He is at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior advisor. He served on Capitol Hill and the U.S. National Security Council, as well as the governor's office in Illinois, and is a member of the U.S. Navy Reserve Intelligence Officer. He's written cogently about that target list, especially one piece that has not appeared in the White House characterization. Let us begin with the nuclear weapons facility suspect. Richard, a very good evening to you. That is said to be an attractive target given the threat that Iran represents with a nuclear weapon. However, right away, the White House, in the person of the president, removed it from its target list. I don't ask you what the future is, but why not the suspect nuclear weapons facility? Is it too deep? Does Israel not have the capability? What do we know about this thou shalt not from the White House? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I think it's important to unpack both what the campaign strategy could look like, would look like, what makes sense from a military perspective, what are your priority threats that you need to eliminate, how much time do you have? In other words, are you detecting a nuclear breakout? Do you think you would detect a nuclear breakout? How long do you think a nuclear breakout would take if you detected it? And then you can start planning, understanding that Israel has kinetic capabilities, obviously as a military, but it also has covert capabilities that we've seen extraordinarily used most recently in Lebanon, but previously even in Tehran against Haniya. You've seen cyber capabilities. Perhaps there's other creative things that we don't even think about, or our minds can't even get a hold of what the Mossad has thought about. You put all those things together, synchronize them in the right order, in the right ways, and you don't know what's possible. And I think the most important thing for anybody listening is you're reading all kinds of leaks, all kinds of stories. Israel has the capability to do this. Israel doesn't have the capability to do that. Israel will hit this. Israel won't hit that. I'm telling you, from any U.S. official, anybody who is talking to the media, they don't know exactly what Israel can or can't do, and they don't know what Israel will or will not do. That is my own certainty. Now, you want to be able to, at some point, take out the nuclear infrastructure of Iran. It is the greatest threat. It's the existential danger. There might be things you want to do before that, if you have the time. Air defense capabilities, making sure you can own the skies in the future. Their offensive missile capabilities, looking at all the various missile sites, both above ground and underground throughout the country, and the command and control for those missile systems from the IRGC, their aerospace forces, command headquarters, the different bases where they're assigning that, launching these from for those that are not mobile systems. That can degrade their capability to have counterstrikes. Even if you wanted to go after the nuclear program first, you'd still want to ensure that either at the same time or in a sequence of events, you're preventing the massive counterstrike, so you're saving the number of arrow missiles that you need to continue to defend the state of Israel when 200 ballistic missiles are coming at you. So there's, if you looked at the nuclear program, you wanted to do that up front, you didn't want to wait, or you could wait, you could phase it. It's not just one site. It's not just the two sites that we talk about, Natanz and Fordo. There are many sites within the nuclear infrastructure of Iran. There are supply chain type sites. There are storage sites. There are manufacturing sites. There are mining sites. And then, of course, you have the two primary areas, one being Natanz and one being Fordo. You have some other stuff in Isfahan as well. And so, you know, the Natanz, I think pretty confident that people believe you can get after the existing facility, which probably gets you a lot of their material, gets you a lot of their centrifuges that are active. We don't know much about the new facility near Natanz that they're building. This one's deep underground, supposed to be more than 100 meters deep, impenetrable to military strike once completed. Might be vulnerable right now to ensure that site never gets completed. And the question is Fordo. This is the facility between 60, 90 meters deep underneath a mountain. That's the one where you have the big question mark, can Israel do something? And I think we've learned enough to know not to assume Israel can't do something just because we don't see the munition in front of us. We don't see exactly how they would do it. The Israelis have spent a long time thinking about this. They have incredible capabilities and sources and methods. And so I'm not here to tell you what they're going to hit. I don't know. But if it was me, I would ensure you take out their air defense. I would take out their counterstrike capabilities. I would confuse them by taking out some command and control, especially from the IRGC that controls all of this. And then that would give you the pathway to take care of the nuclear program methodically, assuming you have the time, that they're not breaking out, that you detect, you can detect that, and then take care of those sites as well.
I like it. I like it right away, Richard. Command and control of the IRGC. That blinds them and means that they're rendered as if their pagers don't work. What about the oil depots? That's also mentioned at the White House. Don't hit the oil depots. That seems the easiest target. Is it the easiest to fix?
No, I mean, listen, this would be a big deal for the Iranian economy, especially long term, to take down their oil export capabilities. But there's also other sites. If you really were worried about the blowback of hitting oil, the potential counterstrikes by the Iranians against Saudi oil infrastructure, and the Saudis maybe pleading with the Israelis, please don't do this, the impact potentially on global prices, even in a short term, we're a month out from a U.S. election, that can have a big impact. There are things elsewhere within the energy infrastructure of Iran that could cause serious damage to the regime. For example, they are heavily, heavily reliant domestically on their refineries for gasoline. If you take down their domestic refineries, and of course we have sanctions now on the books for many years now on deliveries of gasoline to Iran, so they're really just dependent on their own refining capacity, you're going to just shut down the economy. You're going to have massive street protests, people out in the street that can't get gasoline. They can't fuel things. So if you really want to turn the lights off, so to speak, in Iran domestically and cause major instability, that would be top of my target list.
What we're looking at then is a moment where the target list will describe the future.
Well, listen, the future of a degraded Islamic Republic of Iran, because, you know, is it possible this regime collapses and the people take over and you have some sort of a, you know, constitutional monarchy or republic or, you know, whatever people envision? I don't know. That's something for the Iranian people to have to put together and decide. And certainly there are things you can do to give them strength and give them tools to do it on their own. But we're not contemplating, I don't think we should, any sort of invasion like Iraq. But even so, the ring of fire that the Supreme Leader has built is collapsing, right, with Hezbollah being degraded, with Hamas degraded, with Iran itself potentially in a few weeks from now we'll see degraded. That means the ring of fire is no longer there. It means there's no reason for Saudi Arabia to fear and to be in some truce with Iran. Right. It means that we can start moving forward to normalization, bring Saudi into the Abraham Accords, rebuild the coalition to keep the squeeze on whatever remains of this regime's capabilities, and help the people one day actually bring a pro-Western government to power that itself joins, maybe not the Abraham Accords, maybe you call it the Cyrus Accords at that point.
Richard Goldberg, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.